It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Is it ever? Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. Big Tuesday episode of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, your home for top-shelf radio in a bottom-feeding political world. We have just an outright stampede of stupidity. This is the dumbest time there has ever been to be alive.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
We will attempt to opiate the masses with our wit and wisdom, shareable, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. A lot of specifics to get into. It's a crowded dance card today. Unfortunately, all the girls are really ugly. I don't know, but we're serving plenty of spiked punch to get everybody in the mood. 888-788-9910. You know the rules on the show. You could be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. All I ever ask is that you don't be a Boom! Happy Tuesday, everybody. If you watched Gutfeld last night, I was with the King of Late Night, Greg Gutfeld. I'd say by our standards, like a solid C-plus show. It was good. We had a lot of fun. Good times. But we're always capable of more. I mean, he's the King of Late Night. And I'm obviously the biggest show in all of weekend programming. Second biggest show. I'm not going to keep up with this bit. It could get ugly. We can wear out that buzzer. But the point is, we had a great time. Clips are on the Fox Across America Facebook page. If you're watching Failavision tonight, you will see me on the Ingram Angle, closing that show as I do every Tuesday night in the 7 p.m. hour. But right now, I am here with you doing like my actual job, which is to talk on the radio. So let's get to it. So Trump, man, this is a wild one today. Just a dumb day. It's a dumb day. it's the best way I could describe it to you. But I always say, you know, Fox Across America, the hook of the show is I'm not the star. We are. This is our shared experience. It's a celebration of our American privilege and a reminder that in a lot of ways that American privilege seems to be going away.
Biden sucks.
Well, it's not so much Biden, but the guy who happens to be in charge of Biden behind the scenes, whoever the hell that happens to be, but no one with a straight face thinks it's actually Biden.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
I don't doubt that he does. But there's an effort being made right now, okay, and this is something every American should be mindful of. There is an unprecedented effort being made in our legal system to destroy Donald Trump. Now, you don't have to be a Trump voter. You don't have to be a Trump liker. You could hate Trump to realize this is bad for you, what they're doing to Trump in court right now. So he is being asked to turn over a $464 million appeal bond as a result of the civil case in which he was charged and convicted of fraud, despite the fact that there were no victims.
This is ridiculous.
And what I mean by that is in a typical fraud case, you get charged with fraud because you ripped somebody off. And somebody goes, hey, this guy ripped me off. Here's the proof. This is what I was promised. This is what happened. And this guy should be prosecuted. That's how fraud traditionally starts.
He should be behind bars.
That's the ethos of fraud. In this instance, Trump is being charged with fraud, okay, despite the fact that none of the banks that are embroiled in the case claim they were defrauded, meaning he didn't pay them late, he didn't miss payments, he doesn't owe them money, they didn't lose cash on the deal because they would have made more if they went with someone else. No, ma'am. This is the financial equivalent of charging somebody with murder, but there's no dead body.
That's not right.
And I'm not saying he hid the dead body. Again, I'm saying there is no dead body. Yet they went ahead and charged him anyway.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Now, what's the point of them thinking like that is that it is politically expedient to do so. So you have Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, who is trying to humiliate Donald Trump. We're in a city that's 96% liberal, okay, and they want to destroy and humiliate Donald Trump. The Biden Justice Department is okay with this because anything that's an impediment to Trump's reelection chances is something they're on board with, whether it was the efforts to take him off the ballot in places like Maine or Colorado, or it's the current effort to just humiliate and bankrupt a man by demanding a bond that's never been paid in the history of these classes. Okay, so you understand in these cases anyway, to do that in English. And the reason this is bad for you if you're a Trump hater is because if the standard operating procedure in this country becomes we can just try to go out and weaponize the court of law and bankrupt anybody who opposes us politically, I promise you, it doesn't end well for your side either. It just doesn't. Do you remember when Twitter kicked Trump off when it was run by Jack Dorsey and it was 99.4% liberal? It's a bunch of guys with man buns, women with blue hair, if not to assume anyone's gender, over in woke Twitter. Okay, but we all know what happened to woke Twitter.
Everything woke turns to
But in any event, when they kicked Trump off, what did everybody on the left say? Well, you Republicans need to deal with it. Because you like to tell us all the time, private entities can do whatever the hell they want. They're private companies. They have the right to do whatever they want. So if they're going to kick Trump off, you just got to deal with it because they're a private company. How about them apples? That's what they said. But they were singing a different tune about that private company doing whatever the hell it wanted when it sold to Elon Musk and he restored all the conservative speech rights. Loved it. I remember saying it. I was like, man, I told you this day was coming. And I'm telling you this day is coming again. If you could weaponize the justice system to try and annihilate, bankrupt, and humiliate your political opponent, okay, it's only a matter of time before that weapon gets used on you.
That's true. That is true.
Now, some of you might just be listening to this going, oh, sure, the guy works on Fox News. He's just in the tank for Trump. He's just trying to make us feel for the...
Wrong.
Dude, if you've listened to this show, the amount of shots I have to take at Trump when he does something I don't agree with, I'm trying to call a fair fight over here.
This guy will say anything.
Sometimes you have to say anything if that's what you feel in your gut. Because I'm not doing a Trump talk show. I am not doing a Republican talk show. I am doing an American talk show.
Freedom!
But what they're doing to Trump is bad for all Americans. Here is Letitia James. Letitia James ran for office on a vow to destroy Trump. Now, in a normal court of law, where we're concerned with the integrity of cases and we're concerned with the integrity of the justice system, Letitia James is disqualified from prosecuting a man because she won office by vowing to get him without even knowing what the crimes were. That's what she did. Okay, here she is campaigning on it, and not only campaigning on it, but we're told it's treasonous to say an election outcome was illegitimate. You're not allowed to say an election outcome was illegitimate. You can't say that unless you're one of these people.
I think it's also critical to understand that, as I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, you can run the best campaign, you can even become the nominee, and you can have the election stolen from you.
And how many montages can I play you of Hillary Clinton saying it was stolen from her?
Get her out. Get her out of here.
To Trump's credit, when he won the presidency and Hillary had mishandled classified information, Trump said he didn't want her prosecuted. Despite all the fun lock-her-up chants at the rallies, he did that in jest. Trump is not actually the vindictive, autocrat or literally Hitler they're making him out to be. But they do have that animosity towards him because they're reveling in this manufactured hysteria that they created. But here is Letitia James. We were told you can't say an election was stolen. Here is the woman prosecuting Trump, vowing to prosecute him. That's her election pitch. Hey, I know you know New York is a mess now. Okay, most of the tourists that want to come here decide to go someplace safer, like Baghdad. Okay, but understand, as people are getting pushed onto the trains and you can't walk a block in any direction without seeing some pantless wino going to the bathroom on a sidewalk. Yeah! But more importantly, there were a bunch of financial transactions 20 years ago, 30 years ago, where none of the lending institutions claimed they were defrauded. But we're going to go after the guy in those transactions anyway, because politics. This is her. This was her vow to New York. This is where partisan loyalty really blinds people to their own well-being. You know, people voted for exactly what's happening. That's why she's getting away with it here. Here's the campaign, clip 16.
I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president.
Whoa!
When our fundamental rights are at stake. I believe that the president of these United States can be indicted for criminal offenses.
Please sue him for us.
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the ass. He's going to know my name personally.
That man in the White House. Who can't go a day without threatening our fundamental rights.
Yes, we need to focus on Donald Trump and his abuses. We need to follow his money. We need to find out where he's laundered money. We need to find out whether or not he's engaged in conspiracy.
It's important that everyone understand that the days of Donald Trump are coming to an end.
I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
She's worse than Kamala.
I mean, she's definitely up there. But that's her campaigning every day. I look forward to going in every day and going after this guy. Now, he'd never been accused of these crimes. Okay, and when she talks about following the money, she followed it. And did she find any actual victim?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. But they charged him anyway. And understand now, in order to appeal the process, he has to post $464 million in liquid assets. He owns all kinds of real estate, doesn't have the ability to cough up $464 million in cash, because here's a newsflash, nobody does.
Tell it like it is.
This is a record level of bond, something that might be given in the commercial industry if you were like Apple, but if you're a private entity, this is unheard of. And Kevin O'Leary, to his credit, okay, he traveled to make this point over on CNN.
CNN is the worst.
I mean, man. And they didn't even want him to get the words out, because he was talking about how this is such a detriment to business development in a state like New York. And he's vowed in the past on record several times to never invest here again because of what a bone-chilling effect this actually has on venture capitalism in New York, where taking the value of your assets and borrowing against them is precisely how things get built and developed. Here is O'Leary, clip 22.
What a great message to send out all around the world. Take a claim where there was no monies lost. There was no fraud here in the context of actually people losing money. Deutsche Bank, who made the loan, was made whole. And let's make a penalty of $500 million against a crime, apparently, where no monies were lost. Great message for New York. Great message for America. Bring your capital, because we'll protect your property. I think that was a statement that would be much better made sometime in Venezuela.
Now, that's my clapping effect. To be very clear, the CNN audience did not clap at all. In fact, the moderator tried to trample the sarcasm. But who is Kevin O'Leary? Okay, he's a billionaire investor. He is one of the hosts of Shark Tank and understands how business works. And he is telling you this is so antithetical to business and job creation and New York as a whole, and the commercial real estate market as a whole, when you can just go out there and find somebody $500 million who didn't do anything wrong. Do you understand? If this was happening to a Democrat, you would be rightfully losing your mind. Here's the rest of the O'Leary exchange, clip 23.
There are no $500 million bonds. Never been done before. Never. This law has never been applied. Forget about Trump. Nothing to do with Trump. Everything to do about America and the New York brand. I love this state. My children live here. A horrible message to everybody around the world watching this. Absolutely horrific.
Well, wait, Kevin, but hold on a second. Kevin,
Trump
what would
be
the...
gone one day.
Hold
on a second. This attorney will be gone one day. And this is what you want to tell
people around the world. I have a wonderful voice, and it won't be talked over. Kevin O'Leary, I would like to hear what you have to say, but...
This is not America.
What are you doing? It's not America, but it is the Laura Coates live show, and I am speaking.
Oh, come on.
That was embarrassing.
It's the Laura Coates show, and I am speaking.
Oh, shut up, woman.
I'll speak if you gotta speak, but say something intelligent for once. Because here's the reality. She's shutting him down because the point he's trying to make is this is bigger than Trump. Trump is not going to live forever. Okay, I hate to say that. I know there's a lot of people living at listening out there that aren't okay with that. I was just in Jacksonville. You haven't lived until you've seen a Trump flag on a big wheel. There's a whole big giant level of passion out there. Okay, and I'm not clowning it. The point I'm trying to make is it is bigger than Trump. Kevin O'Leary is speaking to you as a billionaire developer, as a billionaire venture capitalist, as a guy who realizes the victim when Trump gets prosecuted to the tune of $500 million in an unprecedented effort to weaponize the justice system against a political opponent, the victim is not Donald Trump, it's all of us.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
It's the number one children's show in the country.
He's a lot better at radio than he is being a dad.
Oh, snap.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts. Might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T testosterone booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Talking about this Trump real estate scam. And it's a scam. Again, just so we're all on the same page, this is not an activist show. Like, I really don't care. I want to get people back to that other America I grew up in, where we're just all in on the joke that we're lucky to be here. And we stop fighting so much and enjoy it. That's what we're actually trying to do. That's why I go on the road. I have a TV show. I have a radio show. I have a family. But I go on the road anyway because I'm one of these stupid people who wants to spread a good time gospel. I enjoy it. I enjoy meeting you. I love performing. There's nothing like it in the world. There's just no net. You're out there in the arena trying to make it work. It's like the coolest thing in the world. But the point is I'm doing it because I want to help. And I think the more people we reach with the show and the TV show and certainly the live stand-up, the Everybody Calm Down tour, I think we help people recognize the value of chilling the f*** out. I think that's what we're trying to do. But when I get on the air and I have something like this that's just so damaging and stupid, okay, I would be remiss if I didn't call it out because I'm aware that I have currency with a lot of you because you have met me. And been like, wow, it's not an act. He really is a tremendously flawed human being. This guy is a mess. he eats just as much as he says on the radio.
That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
I believe that's the eighth shot he's done while we were standing here.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
It's a great way to go through life. And it's exactly how we're going through Helena, Montana next Friday. Okay, we'll be at the Helena Civic Center next Friday, March 29th. Come hang out. Saturday night, we're in Spokane, Washington at the Fox Theater. Are you kidding me? Come hang out. It'll be a great time. You can get tickets, foxacrossamerica.com. But the best thing you can get is a laugh and a reminder that you hit the lottery because you were born in the greatest source of good the world has ever known.
He knows what he's talking about.
Oh, girl, there it is. Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. Fired up. It is Tuesday. You live in the best country on the planet. That matters. You should have that perspective. Even if you're having one of those Tuesdays like I am where you're just absolutely getting your ass handed to you, the point is you can get right up off the map. You know what I loved? I'll tell you what got me in a good mood. Saturday night, I had Sean Hannity on my TV show. And we were talking about Rocky movies because Hannity was doing a segment where we have the big names on the show, like the Brett Baiers, the Dana Perinos, the Sean Hannitys. What do they all have in common? They're all about 400 IQ points better than I am.
That's true. That is true.
So I don't sit down with these people like an idiot and try to like compare intellects and talk in circles, okay, that you're used to hearing them all talking. Okay, I do this off the meter segment where it's like I've stuck them in the back of a taxi and I talk to them about pop culture, drinking, karaoke, movies, silly stuff, you know. So I was talking to Hannity and it really like his, you know, Hannity's like a super patriot. What I mean by that is he means it. Like he's built his brand around being a patriot. Everyone knows that about him. He has fought for your freedoms in every corner of the universe, whether it's TV or a radio or a book or an appearance or whatever the hell it happens to be. People like Hannity because they like America. That's essentially the mantra.
We're not going to sit here and listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
And what so got me is I asked him, I said, you know, he had talked about me being a cab driver. He's like, you know, you were a cab driver. It's a credible story. You're a cab driver. You got your own TV show, your own radio show. Great. I said, okay, having said that, you weren't always Sean Hannity, TV and radio and everything in between. Okay. What was the toughest job on the way to being Sean Hannity? And the thing that jumped out at me is he said, none of them were tough. He's like, you know, they had challenges. I was a cook. I was waiting tables. I was doing all these things. But the reality is, whether it was roofing or whatever the hell it was all being done in the name of making a better life for himself.
Freedom!
You have that here. And when we got to the point about Rocky movies where I said, hey, man, Tim Scott says Rocky III is the best Rocky.
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
That's my take. But I said to Hannity, I said, is it in fact the best Rocky? He didn't, you know, disparage Tim Scott, but he did quote the speech from the most recent Rocky, Rocky Balboa, about it's not how hard you get hit or how hard you go down. It's how quickly you get back up. And it really like spoke to me in that he is a guy that it's hard to fathom. You know, when he's the biggest name in cable news, got the biggest radio show in America, it's hard to fathom that a guy like him goes down a million times along the way. But the point is, we all do. And when you're sitting here on a Tuesday where you might really just feel like Joe Frazier in his matchup against George Foreman, where he went down like 7 times in 3 rounds. Down goes Frazier. That's the old Howard Cosell call. Down goes Frazier. He kept saying it because he couldn't believe it because he was Joe Frazier. He had beat Muhammad Ali. You didn't sign up to see him get knocked down 7 times in 2 rounds or 3 rounds.
That's true. That is true.
You know, so you're like, this is crazy. But in any event, even if you find yourself on the Frazier end of a George Foreman matchup, Joe Frazier eventually got up off that mat and went back and fought for more championships because you have the ability to persist in this country. So as much as we all feel like we're getting kicked in the nuts by this administration, I am here to offer you that message of hope because the truth is there's no rule. There's just no rule that says you can't turn it around. You can't be whatever the hell it is you want to be, no matter what life has convinced you of. And I only speak to that in this context because politics specifically has made so many people a prisoner of the moment. And what I mean by that is because of social media, because of the omnipotent presence of the 24-hour cable news cycle, we're all consuming vibes. We're all consuming news out of a fire hose. We don't just drink it in small sips now. We just get completely blown away by it when news breaks. And it's almost impossible for people to see beyond the blast. So a lot of folks operate within the emotional prism that the news cycle has constructed for us that day. And when you partake in that fool's errand, you might find yourself saying very foolish things.
I'm telling you, that boy's a genius.
But you don't have to be a genius to see how foolish it is for the media to still be carrying on with this claim that Trump called for a bloodbath when he very clearly didn't.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Well, what it really is they're just done being what they were supposed to be, which was a check on power. Okay, we now have activists. Okay, activists who call themselves members of the media.
What a fraud.
Oh, straight up. Because when you watch the fallout to Trump's comments over the weekend, there really is only one conclusion.
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
There's that Hannity guy again. I'm trying to give the smaller shows a bump. You know, you call them out, they get a little heat for appearing with me. You know that.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Let's get in here. Okay. More reaction, more desperation. The Biden campaign now running a commercial claiming that Trump called for a bloodbath.
You are so full of shit.
And for anyone who doubts me, here is the full clip, full context, clip one.
You know, Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years. 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country, think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and they think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars.
So that is the full context of what he said. Was he calling for violence? Try telling that to these people. Clip four.
I mean, what I heard was a continuation of the same rhetoric, the same endorsement of political violence that we've seen from Donald Trump.
He's even predicting a bloodbath. What does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath?
It's just bullshit. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid.
So he says his bloodbath comment was referring to the auto industry. That's not how it sounded to me.
It's not some meandering off-message comment. This is his message.
A major party candidate is saying, you elect me, there's going to be dictatorship, bloodbath, violence, retribution against my political enemies. That equals what we saw in Italy and Germany and other places.
Not taking it out of context, because the context is his history and his life.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
The context is his history and life. So in his history and life, do we have him on record calling for or causing a bloodbath? My God. But they're so embarrassed, because what happened this time around, and this is, you know, they always cheat their angles on Trump. Trump speaks in less than perfect terms. He once said when he was running for president, I don't believe Mexico is sending their best. They're sending drugs. They're sending crime. They're sending rapists. And the rest, I assume, are good people. Okay, it is not all Mexicans are drug dealers and rapists, yet that's how the media framed it.
That's just how white folks will do you.
You see, Trump did say a lot of problematic things when he launched his 2016 campaign. But a lot of people saw how the media was cheating the angle to kind of make the impact worse than it was. And along the way, the media discredited itself. And more people started to gravitate towards Trump because they realized this was a war on speech that was restricting the lanes of expression for all of us. That's the whole point of the cancel culture dictionary, the book I wrote. It's a New York Times bestseller, not because I know what I'm doing, but because I made a case because I've been on the front lines of this thing as a comic and a broadcaster. When they cancel a celebrity for telling a joke on Twitter, it becomes harder for you. You see, Roseanne Barr gets canceled. I don't agree with the joke she told, but she shouldn't lose her job for it. She shouldn't. Okay, but if those are the rules of engagement, don't worry about Roseanne. She's got 80s sitcom money. You know who doesn't have 80s sitcom money? You and me. So if the standard operating procedure comes, tell a joke that we find offensive and you lose your job, okay, I got to be honest.
That can't be good.
Not for you and me. So understand, okay, when you see the attack on Trump's speech and the effort made to distort what he actually said, knowing it's a phrase that they all frequently traffic in, okay, you realize these are a people who are very much a prisoner of their emotions, in that their emotions are their facts. They hate this man. He must be doing something bad. You must agree with him or agree with them that he's doing something bad, or you're all an existential threat to our country. Because everybody in the media knows you could never say the word bloodbath without it being an actual call to violence. Just listen to these people, clip five.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC, as part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Weird.
The midterm elections may not be the bloodbath for Democrats that's been predicted. Joe Biden was just talking the other day about, you know, his concerns about a negative bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath in November.
It would be a bloodbath.
They could see a bloodbath, too. A bloodbath at the ballot box.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
That's everybody in the media who said he used the term bloodbath and said you can only use bloodbath if you're calling for a bloodbath. Yet that's every one of them saying bloodbath.
Oh, wow.
This is why people hate the media. Like, I want you to understand this. If you're listening as like a, you know, curiosity seeker, you were changing the dial and you heard me and you were like, whoa. There's no way this is the real host of the show. This is clearly some fill-in who's probably going to get fired on the air during the next commercial break. Let's stick with this, honey. This man is not talented. There's clearly no formal broadcast training here to speak of. Let's stick around and see how this goes. I really do believe that's like half the audience in a given day. They're just scrolling the dial and they're like, wait, yeah, what the fuck is this? I have no idea, honey. But anyway. Okay, if you're one of those people, or you just hate Fox News and you're like, I'm going to hate listen, okay, this note is for you. The people out here that are trying to destroy Trump are destroying the country in an effort to do it. They are. Straight up. Because they're denying us an ability to have an honest conversation about issues that truly do affect you. You. Not me, the Fox News guy, you. Okay? You, your family. Their family, their friends, their neighbors, me, my family, all of us, okay? We're all Americans. We live in the same country. As it goes, we go. What Trump was speaking about was a critical, critical element of our economy and our very survival. He's talking about the border. He's talking about the outsourcing of American jobs to Mexico. He's talking about how China, our biggest geopolitical foe in the world, is trying to exploit our economy by outsourcing manufacturing jobs to Mexico, where they can build these cars cheaper and then sell them within our country. So they bang us at both ends. You know, the whole burning the candle at both ends? That's what they're doing. Okay, so they weaken our economy and they weaken the American job force by taking the jobs to Mexico. But then they make money and they exploit our markets by selling us those cars for a greater profit because they were produced in Mexico. In effect, they're getting American companies to weaken the country to help them out. That's critical. That matters. It's like the border. When Trump said, Mexico, I don't believe they're sending their best. They're sending drugs, they're sending crime, they're sending rapists, the rest I assume are good people. that conversation turned into, he called all drug dealers rapists.
That is a fact check false.
No, he didn't. But in changing that to the context of the conversation, we stopped debating the importance of border security. We're now living in an America because we demonized border security because of the language Trump used to impress it upon us. We're now living in an America that has abandoned border security. We've let 10 million people into the country. We have a record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths, and people are getting raped and killed. Okay, that's just a sad reality of the moment we're living in, because the liberals have tried to create a society where what you say is more important than what you do. Trump saying that is a bloodbath. In their worldview, that's more important than fighting to get those American jobs back into our country, or fighting in this case to keep those American jobs in this country. Why? Because members of the elite media don't traffic in the same economic circles as you. Okay, it's one of the reasons I dress like such an idiot on TV and at these high-profile functions we go to at the White House and D.C. and everything in between, is because I want it to be abundantly clear that I am one of you and not one of them. I might have been granted this access for whatever fleeting moment this happens to be, but when it comes to the media, I am like the Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack. I'm somehow allowed into the elite country club, and I think these people are just absolute losers, okay? And I love to call them out, because they're completely tone deaf and indifferent to the effect they're having on society. The media is the reason the Democrats opened up the border. Yeah, they want open borders. Yeah, they want cheap labor. Yeah, they want those votes. Yeah, they want that government dependency that gets them those votes. All of that is true. But it only became fashionable to do because people in the media got on TV every day and said we should be building bridges and not walls. And when that was done, they all went home to their walled-in houses.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
A show with substance and style.
This is my oldest guy in the boy band look.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
He's a good looking Italian.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Just trying to call a fair fight. If you don't believe me, ask Daniel out in Tacoma, Washington. Daniel, what's going on in Tecompton, as the locals call it?
Hey, what's happening, Jimmy? This is Dan, the trucker, man. I just want to say that I appreciate you, brother. Just when you say, let's go, and good morning,
yep.
Your energy is infectious, your comedy is great, you call a fair fight, you're patriotic, you mention Jenny and Lincoln, I mean... You're a good person. You mentioned Mike. You care about people. You know, and you know motives, and I know you love process, but you don't go see the people out on the tour and stand up so that you can show them that you're real. You really want to meet the people.
Oh, yeah, I like people.
You really love them.
I know, I like
and people. And I love you for that, and I'm a 100% disabled vet, and I love this country, brother, and it pains me. But for you to take the time to say, look, Trump said this, not that, or whoever it is, if you're defending anybody else.
Yep.
I just love you, bro. I want you to know you bring me energy every day, and
oh,
God bless you.
Thank you, brother. We'll do it again soon, but stay safe out there. You're the best, Daniel. You're the man. I really want Daniel to be my agent, man. Really quickly, I would not let Alex be my agent, but I always like putting him on the phone. Alex!
Yeah, thank you for that compliment, by the way.
No. You call it any day. I'm not letting you rep me. Like, Daniel is just a walking compliment. I know you have issues with me. I can't have you repping this show, but continue.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Okay.
give me the 10-second version of this, because we're at the bottom of the hour.
10-second is that we have a bloodbath currently in the country. The media doesn't want everybody
the
to
real
get a full context.
You're saying the real one, right?
Bloodbath. We have it right now with the economy. We have with the cocaine and fentanyl that killed hundreds of thousands of people. That's a bloodbath.
Spot on, Daniel, you stuck the landing, and so did Alex. Good job, guys.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
There it is. Jimmy's back in action on a Tuesday. He was sitting outside the studio just talking to the peeps, to my folks, and now I know, really.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
That's what they said. Get back in the studio, fatso! Come on!
You're killing yourself the way you eat.
Y'all fat look at you.
Well, I am back in the studio, and I'm not eating. I'm talking on the radio. It's what I love to do. 888-788-9910. It's another big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. Emily Campagno scheduled to come by. She's just getting off the outnumbered couch. We don't actually know if she'll make it. The way me and Emily, this works, is she's booked on the show every Tuesday. But some days, like, I'll send a comment about something that was said on Outnumbered, and she'll just write back, like, screw you, you fat. And that's the end of Emily. So I don't know. We'll find out in a minute. My phone's actually buzzing as we get on the air because this is a real show. These people work in media. They're big names. They're big stars. You see them all over the television, but I'm just booking my friends. You know, it's the same when you hear lawmakers. If you hear a lawmaker on this show, it's because they mean it off the air. Okay, plenty of people can come on. Jim Jordan's on today. Jim Jordan's on in the next hour. And Jim Jordan, of course, in the 4th Congressional District of Ohio, where they had a tornado last week. Crazy. Not good. Thankfully, Jenny's family's okay. And for anybody who checked in, thank you. And, of course, the WHIO family down there in Dayton. We're always thinking about them as well. Jim Jordan representing that area. The 4th Congressional District encompasses, you know, Wapakoneta. And, of course, Indian Lake that got actually crushed, which is sad to hear. Yeah, the Bell Fountains of the World areas out there, not the best. But Jim Jordan's on the show all the time, not because he's Jim Jordan. He's a big name you see on TV. It's because when you talk to Jim Jordan off the air, he means what he's saying on the air. You know, that's, yeah. And why are we laughing? Because a lot of the people that you see on TV, on MSNBC, CNN, you know, oh, I love this country.
People aren't buying at CNN, you dumb bastards.
What they love is getting booked. What they love is getting clicks. And I say that, why? Because so much of the hysteria in this media moment is being brought to you by people who know that if they feed the MSNBCs of the world, if they feed the CNNs of the world what they want, they will continue to get booked. That's the hook here. A good example is Michael Steele. I played this clip yesterday. I want to play it to you one more time today. So Michael Steele used to be the head of the RNC. Obviously, there's been some upheaval. He was before Reince Priebus. Okay, but understand, Michael Steele, okay, and the clip I'm about to play you is so perfectly timed because as I speak to you right now, on Fox News, okay, on Fox Business, okay, they're covering a press conference that's not being covered on MSNBC or CNN. What is the press conference? It's the former generals in the United States military talking about how Biden botched the Afghan troop withdrawal.
Come on, man.
Right now as I speak to you, okay, Michael McCall from Texas is now speaking to the findings. Okay, they're talking about how America's credibility was damaged on the world stage because we promised our allies in the region we wouldn't turn our backs on them, and we did. We assured the American people that the Afghan army wasn't going to collapse, and it did. They personally assured you, the Bidens of the world, the Kirbys of the world, the Sullivans of the world, that the president of Afghanistan wasn't going anywhere. As they were giving you that speech, he was throwing his money into an actual suitcase and getting on a boat and skipping town before somebody threw him off the frickin' thing. Okay, and the world took notice. And while the media got on TV every day and was like, oh, it's a big Republican talking point. Biden did a good job. That's what they said with a straight face.
You're not telling me the truth.
And something you heard me saying at the time, and a lot of Fox commentators saying at the time, is don't conflate this with Republican opposition to a Democratic president. Okay, because what this criticism falls under is someone embarrassing our country on the world stage. Joe Biden pulled the troops out ahead of the civilians.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
And then went on TV with a straight face and told us this was the most successful airlift in the history of our country.
What an idiot.
Okay. Right now, the headline you're finally getting, CNN finally picked it up. Chaotic exit. Top generals testifying about U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. But what are they saying? What are the top generals saying? What are they saying?
Biden is such a disaster.
That's what they're saying. American allies left behind, translators who cooperated with us in the region, aren't going to take our government at its word the next time around we ask people to go undercover and risk their lives and help us. Afghanistan, a war we fought for 20 years to make sure it didn't become a breeding ground for terror groups. We left Afghanistan with a terror group now in charge of the government.
This could be a problem.
Now, we agreed, okay, under Donald Trump, that we were going to end the Afghan war. It's one of the reasons Trump's so unpopular, as he doesn't allow the war machine to finance forever conflicts on the other side of the planet. They hate Trump for that because he's getting in the business of the bottom line. You see, Trump does have a lot of kids. Okay, Trump does have a family. Trump does have a value for human life. And does it have it in him to just recklessly send your kids off to die in some war we have no business being in? Okay, and he does want to avoid conflict. That's why he espouses peace through strength. You don't have to like him. You don't have to agree with him. You don't have to vote for him. Okay, but that is his personal constitution, peace through strength. When Kim Jong-un was lobbing missiles, okay, under the Obama administration, talking big smack, and Obama wasn't doing anything.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
Trump showed up and was like, hey, I've got a button too. It's bigger than yours. We'll wipe you off the planet. Shut up. And what did Kim Jong-un do? He met with Trump and the DMZ, the demilitarized zone between North Korea and South Korea. And he agreed to play ball at the behest of China, which calls all the shots in North Korea. China took Trump seriously. They don't take Biden seriously. They're threatening to open car factories in Mexico right now and steal all the American jobs and then sell us back the cars. And the Biden administration is too concerned with Trump using the term bloodbath to describe our economy to actually go out and fight for those actual American jobs.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
Totally America Last, okay? We're about to spend $95 billion defending Ukraine's border. While our border has been overrun with 10 million people. Okay, that's America Last, dude. That's the world you're living in right now. And here is Michael Steele. When I talked to you earlier about how people will go on TV and say what gets them booked, like, I'm in a good lane. When I go on TV, if you saw me on Fox and Friends this morning, you know what I was talking about? The Applebee's date pass, which has sold out. Okay, because people like going to Applebee's on a date night, $200. You get to go once a week for the whole entire year. You save yourself a lot of money on food. I'm sure Applebee's makes the money back on booze, because this one thing about married couples is if you're together long enough, you're going to need a glass of wine.
Bingo.
I kid. Jenny, I love you if you're listening, but I don't think you are. That being said, okay, I come on and my job to get rebooked next time is to be funny this time. The next time I go on, my job is to be funny the next time. So I have the greatest job in the history of media because I don't have to perform in the sense that I have to tell you things I don't believe in order to get booked again. But you know who does? People who work at MSNBC and CNN. Now, you might say, what about Fox News? How about Fox? No. And you know why I can make that claim? Because there's a lot of people on our air that you hate because we allow liberals to give their honest opinion about the issues we're discussing.
That's true. That is true.
When you hear a liberal on Fox, whether it's Jessica Tarlov, whether it's Harold Ford, you guys used to get worked up about Geraldo Rivera, Juan Williams, all guys we like personally behind the scenes. We have divergent viewpoints, but we like each other behind the scenes. We're just Americans. But the reason you'd get worked up at some of these commentators is because we're allowing them to articulate a liberal worldview. Whereas on the other networks, if you're getting booked as a Republican, it's because they're having you there to agree with the Democrats.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
So every single Republican that gets booked on MSNBC, I mean, technically speaking, Joe Scarborough is considered a Republican with a straight face. Yeah, for real, clown stuff, straight clown stuff. He gets out of bed every morning and sells self-righteousness to self-hating white people who need to be told that they on the coasts are better than you are in the middle of the country. And that's the gig. You want to do MSNBC, show up and say the Trump folks are bad. They're dumb. They're racist. They don't know any better. Okay, the guy's calling for a bloodbath. Some of them are too stupid to get it. The rest of them know what it is and want to kill you. Okay, none of it's true.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Totally. But as actual military generals are testifying that Biden really screwed us on the world stage and made a laughing stock of our country, here is Michael Steele, former RNC, Republican National Committee chairman, going on MSNBC and saying a vote for Biden is a vote for America.
You are so full of shit.
He knows that, but he wants to get booked again. Listen to this, clip 27.
I get it with some Republicans who said, oh, I just can't vote for a Democrat. But this is not, you're voting for your country. You're not voting for a Democrat in this case. I have disagreements with Joe Biden on a number of policies.
Oh, we know.
Yeah, y'all know, right? And that's okay. But that's a good policy. That's good and healthy for our democracy to have those disagreements. Well, we're sitting here having conversations about a president with 91 federal counts against him. And people are scratching their head and wondering, oh, I don't know, you know, should I support him? Or says, as Simone just noted, he wants to be a dictator. And you go to, well, I'm still worried about the 81-year-old. We've got to shake ourselves out of that fog and understand what this is about. And I do get the idea that it's hard for some Republicans to jump, go across the street. But baby, you need to do it.
That was embarrassing.
So to hear Michael Steele say it, baby, you need to do it.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
No, he has a brain. We're living in the death of shame. That's what he's saying to Republicans. No, you got to cross the street. You got to vote Democrat. A vote for Biden, those are his exact words, are a vote for the country. Because in the media class, where they prioritize pretend things, you should vote in accordance with their pretend things. That's the pitch here.
You cannot be serious.
I'm not serious. They are. Okay? Michael Steele wants you to believe Trump wants to be a dictator. Okay? If Trump was a dictator, if he wanted to be a dictator, we wouldn't have opposition media during his administration when he was president. A media that was allowed to leak thousands of anonymously sourced bombshell reports that all turned out to be false. This wannabe dictator just let it happen. He let every single member of the media pretend for 3 years that he was working for Russia.
It was made up by these sick people.
But he didn't imprison them. He didn't jail them. He didn't shut them down. Okay, but they want you to believe, well, you got to vote for Biden because Trump wants to be a dictator. Trump's not jailing his political opponents. Biden is. Trump's not firing you from your job if you disagree with his policies on a vaccine. Biden is. But as we have this pretend conversation where people go on networks, say what they need to say to get rebooked, the reason people watch Fox is we let people disagree on an opinion basis. We let them disagree, not on a factual basis. Okay, Brett Baer in our news division, Dana Perino, Bill Hemmer, Martha McCallum. Okay, Sandra Smith, John Roberts, you're going to go on those shows, okay? You're going to talk about the facts. They're not going to let you disagree on the facts. They're going to call you out. But when it comes to our opinions, you can believe whatever the hell you want on this channel. That's why we have so many liberals on the air. That's why the audience hates them. Oh, I have Jessica Tolliff. Jessica Tolliff is actually really cool. Even if you don't agree with her on policy, we all hang out with her because she's cool, okay? And I can't place a value over people's lives based on whether or not they agree with me, because most people shouldn't agree with me if you see the things I wear on TV.
I think he's got a point.
I mean, come on, man. But the point is, guys like Michael Steele are on TV at a very moment when the United States generals say Biden hurt the country. He's saying you got to vote for Biden if you love your country. At the very moment when the border's been overrun, when inflation is crippling Americans, when the class sizes in the inner cities that were already overcrowded are getting 4 new non-English speaking students every single week.
But buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
That blew my mind. My buddy Steve, Saturday night, we're out at dinner. And he's like apolitical. He doesn't care. I don't even know if he votes. He's a sports fan. So he does. He plays baseball, crushes beer cans, spits seeds. That's what he does. Coaches his kids. And he's like, I was like, how's work? He's like, it's nuts. He's like, we have a new kid every day that doesn't speak English. They just keep overcrowding the classes because we have all these migrants. Nobody's learning. I feel bad. And I was like, you know, that's because of Biden, right? And he was like, what are you talking about? And we got into it about the border. And he's like, God, I never even thought of it from that standpoint, because most people don't. Because most people in this country don't want politics to have this much of an impact over their lives. And traditionally, politics don't have this much of an impact over your lives, except under two scenarios. One, where we're making something up, like Trump is a Russian asset controlled by Vladimir Putin, and they're blaring it from the hilltops every hour of the day, and the other, where you've got a guy in office who's just doing such a bad job of running things that you can't help but be affected by it. That's the America we're living in right now. And when Michael Steele says a vote for Biden is a vote for your country, I have to think he cried in the shower a little bit afterwards, because there's no world where that could possibly be believed to be true.
Correct the mundo.
The show that's not afraid to hit the road.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Keeping the heart of Texas.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Just trying to have an honest conversation with you. General Mark Milley, testifying under oath. We needed to keep 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Multiple factors determined the outcome in Afghanistan. But it all seems to have resonated with one guy, and that guy is Mr. Joe Biden.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
So these are military generals. This is not MAGA. These are not some white supremacists. These are military generals, essentially echoing the sentiments of Robert Gates. Robert Gates, defense secretary under Barack Obama, famously wrote in his biography, I'm sure you guys have heard this quoted on conservative radio a million times, talk radio a billion times. Robert Gates famously wrote in his biography, Joe Biden, bless his heart, nice guy. But he's been wrong about every major foreign policy decision of the past four decades.
I agree with that.
Just a reality. Biden sucks at foreign policy. He's bad at it. He's known to be bad at it. Okay? What he did in Afghanistan made us a laughingstock because he wanted to get the troops home ahead of September 11th. Because he thought it would be a good photo op to say, I got all the troops out on time.
This is politics as usual.
Yes, the politics were more important than the people. So we took the troops out ahead of the people and was like, don't worry, I got it. The army's not going to collapse. We got this.
You can't handle the truth.
Okay, he couldn't handle the truth. And when it was over, rather than clawing back some credibility by saying, hey, we screwed up, it won't happen again, with a straight face, he went on TV and he said, what? It was successful. It was a great withdrawal. We did such a great job.
You suck, you jackass.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. If you listen to this show regularly, you probably remember a couple weeks back, we had a bit of a vice presidential pageant. We said now that Trump has all but clinched the nomination, he's going to need a vice president. Who do you think the VP should be? Well, some of the leading recipients were, of course, Tulsi Gabbard. Tim Scott got a lot of heat as well, South Carolina senator. Byron Donald, superstar representative, who calls in from Florida all the time. We love BD. He's probably the best communicator in politics right now. I'd make Byron Donalds the president in a second if I could. But another name that got a lot of heat, was Vivek Ramaswamy. And the good news is, yes, he got a lot of heat on the show. The bad news is Trump has just made a decision regarding Vivek.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
Bloomberg News has a new report claiming former President Trump personally told Ramaswamy he won't be his vice presidential pick, citing people briefed on the discussion in their story. However, he claims Trump is considering Vivek for posts including Homeland Security. Jason Miller, Trump advisor, told Bloomberg speculation was irrelevant. He said apparently somebody has decided to list out everyone who has ever met President Trump and is now speculating as to their potential participation in a second administration. The truth is that unless you hear it from President Trump or his campaign, this is all BS. Bloomberg also reports that Elise Stefanik, number three House Republican, has dropped off the vice presidential list but is in line for a cabinet post should Trump defeat Biden. Outlet also claimed that former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was a top candidate for chief of staff. Republican Senators Mike Lee of Utah and Ted Cruz of Texas are reportedly seen as possible picks for attorney general. Popular South Carolina Senator Tim Scott has reportedly been pushed as a vice presidential pick by allies, including Lindsey Graham and John Thune. Bloomberg concluding nothing is decided. It will likely be a game of musical chairs for top posts. However, one of those top posts, is, if it's VP, will not go to Vivek. If, in fact, you're a Vivek supporter. The truth is, I don't think Vivek helps him win back the White House. I think Byron Donalds does. I think Tim Scott does. I think Tulsi Gabbard does. Why do I say that? Because they're all brilliant communicators, and they all confront an area of vulnerability on the ticket. The Democrats run against Trump by saying he's a violent extremist who hates blacks and women. That's the ticket. Is it true?
The answer would be no.
Of course not. Okay, plenty of black members in his cabinet and his administration. We were interviewing all of them. Plenty of women in prominent positions. Like, think about this. When Kellyanne Conway chaired his campaign to the finish line in 2016, she was the first woman to lead a winning presidential ticket. Did all the glass-ceiling women go out and fit Kelly Conway?
The answer would be no.
Not even close. Not even a little bit. They're like, ah, she's a Russian white supremacist like him. Yeah, they wanted higher. They wanted Hillary. They wanted a female president. But, you know, unfortunately, people were not looking out at the country and saying, we're not ready for a woman. They were just saying, we're not ready for that woman.
This is not okay.
No, it is okay. Even though she lied and said it wasn't, and it was racism, and it was misogyny, and it was Russia. It's not that. It's that she was an inauthentic person who tried winning the black vote by claiming she carried hot sauce in her purse.
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
You know, this is a woman who, when she campaigns in front of a black audience, starts to speak like she's some type of a black civil rights pioneer.
I don't feel no ways tired.
And the point is, she's inauthentic. People didn't vote for her because they felt like her priorities weren't theirs. It's the problem Biden's running into right now. One of the things we commented on last night with Gutfeld, which I just thought was so funny, Greg played a clip of Biden slurring his speech as he does. I make this point all the time because it's true. Biden is the only president who makes the sign language interpreter shrug. That's a real thing.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
If you're a sign language interpreter, you got a problem right there. Like, what do I do? I don't know. So Greg was playing the clip to highlight that. And then he played a clip that we had played on yesterday's radio show. It's the one where Biden goes over to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day, or at least talks about Ireland on St. Patrick's Day.
I don't remember that ever happening.
And any time Biden is talking about St. Patty's Day and doesn't actually refer to it as Peppermint Patty from the Charlie Brown show, it is a win.
I agree with that.
The bar's low for this guy. But Biden opened up his St. Patrick's Day speech by talking about how Ireland and America both agree on funding for Ukraine. I got to be honest with you, nobody wants to hear a word about war funding for Ukraine at a St. Patrick's Day get-together.
That's true. That is true.
So when Biden ended the line and goes, please clap, okay, Greg joked it's because they just didn't understand what he was saying. But the truth is, they did understand what he was saying, and they had no idea why it was coming out of his mouth in that moment.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
Biden's priorities are not your priorities. A forever war in Ukraine is just not your priority. You're paying a bill for it. An open border is not your priority, but you're paying a bill for it. Climate change, not your priority, but they're forcing it on you. Okay, they're pursuing things that they lay claim to success on. Well, we spent more money on the climate. Well, did anybody really ask you to? It's not a top five issue right now. Well, we spent more money on Ukraine. Did anybody ask it? Not a top five issue right now. All of the things they're forcing on voters are the reason Biden is polling as low as he is. We're not like anti-dementia. Okay, we all have people in our family that have these conditions. Okay, but we just don't like the idea that dementia should be in charge, number one. But number two, that it should be run behind the scenes by people who truly don't seem to have the country's best interest in mind. Now, I'm not one of those commentators who says they're like trying to destroy America from within. I don't believe that. I don't want to get you angry. That's not my gig. But I believe they're stupid and things that they think are in our best interest are not. That's my take on this. They think an open border is in our best interest because it provides us with cheap labor and it provides them with a reliable voting bloc if they can make these folks dependent on the government because they came here illegally. They think that's in their best interest, but I promise you it's not in the country's best interest. Yes, we were built on immigration, but it was legal. Whenever they say, like, oh, you might as well tear down the plaque on the Statue of Liberty if you're going to secure the border. No, you shouldn't. Because the Statue of Liberty doesn't say, give me your tired, your poor illegally. It does not say that. It does not say sex trafficked children at the border smuggling illegal drugs. Welcome to America. It says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. But under no uncertain terms does the Emma Lazarus poem on the Statue of Liberty say, hey, come into this country illegally. We don't care.
I think he's got a point.
They're prioritizing all the wrong things. That's why they have to run on Trump is a racist misogynist. That's why Vivek is of no value to him. Okay, yes, you could tell me Vivek is of Middle Eastern descent and has a great story as a migrant who came to this country with his family and built a multi-billion dollar entity. But he was also a Democrat like an hour and a half ago. They can use that against him. I mean, Trump was a Democrat 10 years ago, so it's not the best look for the ticket. Okay, but the bottom line is, okay, when you go into this general, you need a VP pick who offers a deliverable, whether a state that could be a battleground state you might have a hard time winning, or they shore up a particular vulnerability within the electorate. Now, right now, Biden is getting crushed with black male voters.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
There's a lot of ex-blacks out there, I guess is what we're trying to say, because a lot of black men are having a hard time figuring out between him and Trump. In fact, a lot of them aren't having a hard time figuring out between him and Trump, and they're abandoning Joe Biden and the soft bigotry of low expectations that tells you a black man can't get a voter ID in this day and age. They're so stupid and incapable that it's worse than Jim Crow to ask them to do so.
This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
Jim Crow on steroids. Black Americans are so incapable that it'd be tantamount to Jim Crow to ask them to get a government ID. Guys, if that was true, black people couldn't drive cars. They couldn't board planes. Okay, they couldn't open bank accounts. They couldn't pick up tickets at a ball game. You know what else they couldn't do? They couldn't get vaccinated. So is it worse than Jim Crow anti-vaccine discrimination when you mandate a vaccine, but there's a class of people incapable of getting an ID? Of course not. That's the fraud of what we're dealing with. Okay, they go after things like Jim Crow. Why?
The left weaponizes race whenever they're losing an argument.
Best thing Trump could ever do in a billion years is just make Byron Donalds the VP. Like, you hear Byron Donalds on the show. I've met him off the air several times. Met his family, met his kids. He is a phenomenal communicator. Okay, and listening to him, okay, go on CNN, go on MSNBC and push back against the Joy Reids of the world who can't even let him get a word in because he refutes her entire ethos.
Joy Reid is a race-baiting loser.
And when a black American gets out there of significance, someone like a Charles Barkley, someone like a Byron Donalds, someone like a Stephen A. Smith, someone like Meek Mill, someone like Ice Cube, when black Americans get out there, Kodak Black, if you want to talk rap, and says they're voting for Trump because the Democrats keep screwing over their community, I promise you that matters because they have currency with their audience. Just the same as people take me kind of serious at what in my assessments because I'm kind of funny and fun to be around. Okay, if you are a music superstar who has a strong relationship with your fans, people are interested in what you have to say. It's no different than Taylor Swift. People are interested in what Taylor Swift has to say. Okay, and to be clear, the portion of the electorate that Taylor Swift represents is not really of significance to the Democrats. It's not. They need it. They want Biden to look hip. They want him to be aligned with the most popular pop star of our era. But the black vote determines elections for Democrats. And the Democrats have not provided for the black community. They've subsidized generations of poverty. And then blamed it on some type of systemic racism when it was the Democrats and the great society that drove a wedge through the black family. They did that. I'm not racist to say that. When you create incentives that pay parents more money to be divorced than together, you incentivize the disintegration of the nuclear family. And if that comes with a generation of government dependency and votes they can rely on, believe me, okay? The government wants you to depend on them so they can depend on you, okay? That's where all of these entitlement programs come from.
Thanks, big government weenuses!
Okay, seriously. But you understand, as Charles Barkley said, hey, I've been voting Democrat forever thinking they'd fix something in the black community. Nothing's gotten fixed. What did the Democrats say in the summer of 2020? They said, oh, a riot. A riot is the language of the unheard. Let's not forget Martin Luther King. Now, let's be clear. They love to forget Martin Luther King when it comes to his worldview that he wants to live in a country where we judge people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. In the current woke doctrine that drives the Democratic Party, the color of your skin, okay, determines everything of your worth to society. If you're a white child, you are born as an oppressor who is unconsciously biased whether you realize it or not. Okay, that's something they sold in corporate America and got rich doing it.
You're all a bunch of grifters.
Okay, kindergarten kids don't want racism. They don't want unconscious bias. They want chocolate milk. But the Democrats have sold this type of division because it's good for their bottom line. Hey, everybody's a racist but us. Vote for us. That's what they do. So when you get a black American out there like a Byron Donalds or a Tim Scott speaking to the empowering message of capitalism and the fact that we're now living in an America where the ceiling for black Americans is president. Okay, Barack Obama's election was the moment where we had fulfilled our promise as a country that all men were created equal. A country formed at a time of institutionalized slavery has fought so hard and made so much progress that a member of a one-time enslaved race could now be in charge of the whole thing. That was the moment where we were supposed to finish discussing race.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
But we couldn't finish discussing race because it was now more politically viable than ever. Whenever Republicans disagreed on policy with something they had disagreed with for the last 50 years, they tried to make it about racism. Well, what's so different about this president that Republicans don't support the radical expansion of our government? I wonder what it is that they won't play along. And that's what they did in the media every day. The Republicans just don't want to work with the black guy. That's what they said. Was there any history of Republicans wanting the government to supply everyone with free health care?
The answer would be no.
No. Was there any history of the Republicans wanting to force the taxpayer to pay for everybody else's health care?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. Was there any history of the Republicans wanting to mandate people buy a product whether they wanted it or not?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. Okay, but when the Republicans stood by those same old principles, the Democrats went, well, gee, I wonder what's so different about this guy that they just can't let him have his way.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
Totally, and people went along with their stupid ideas and got screwed for it. And that's why Biden is so vulnerable when it comes to the black vote, which is why in this moment he shouldn't have Vivek on the ticket. Put Byron Donalds on the ticket. Put Tim Scott on the ticket and walk away with an easy win because you're going to get better than half of the black male vote. And that swings elections in this country. General elections are decided by the black vote. And you understand this isn't about Trump winning an election. This is about economic policies that empower all of us, because when you prioritize a good economy, when you prioritize safe streets, when you prioritize a secure border, that's not a black America issue. That's not a white America issue. It's not an Asian America issue. It is not a Muslim American issue. It is just an American issue. We're all better when the country's better. That's why the Trump tax cuts were such a raging success. They empowered all Americans. In fact, the lowest sector of our economy became the highest accumulator of household wealth, first time it's ever been done in over 100 years in this country. And it's because he didn't prioritize race. He prioritized needs that we all have. Okay, that's how the country works. At the end of the day, whether you're black, white, Asian, gay, straight, Mario, Luigi, Pokemon, Pikachu, we all want to get paid and we all want to get laid.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
It's the show that 9 out of 10 listeners voted the best host on radio.
I don't want to say that they were dumb, but they were dumb.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failer.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Vinny is going to squeeze in here really quick. He's got a VP take. Vinny!
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing?
Doing, man.
Yeah, I really like Tulsi Gabbard because me and her, we have something in common. You know, the Democratic Party left us or we left it.
Yep.
I mean, the progressives have taken over the National Democratic Party, and this isn't your father's Democratic Party. It's not the same party. So that's what we have in common. I would really like to see her run with Trump.
Yeah. I mean, listen, anything that helps with the female vote or the black vote really does matter. But Trump could win the election by grabbing a better share of the black vote. And I think more importantly than that, it's that Byron or Tim Scott force an honest conversation on race that we're not having. And I just think the country needs that. But Tulsi Gabbard's great. Sister's great. And if she's the pick, I love it. You're not going to get a bad word out of me one way or the other. I think it's nice to know we have options because on the other side of town, we all know who they're stuck with for VP. Oh, man.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh. Ha ha!
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Oh,
you bet it is. Here we go. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting as we do every day from the tippy top of the world famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. Big hour of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We are bringing in Jim Jordan from the 4th Congressional District of Ohio. He is, of course, the congressman for my wife, Jenny Failla. He did not know that. She grew up in Wapakoneta when we first started booking him on the show, but he quickly came to find out I know a little too much about the 4th Congressional District of Ohio, but the one thing that unites them and some East Coast dirtbag like myself is that we both prioritize the same things.
Freedom!
And beer. Lots and lots of beer and barbecue and good gosh, do I love it out in Ohio. Just the best. I'm hitting the road again next week. I'll be in Montana. That's going to be epic. Helena, Montana Friday night. Spokane, Washington on Saturday. But right now I am here with you, 888-788-9910. If you'd like to talk to me, Jimmy Failla, a man who doesn't interfere in presidential elections. You know who does? Google.
That's true. That is true.
Let me give you this, man. And this is fascinating stuff. Okay, there's a study out here, tippy top of the hour. And I wanted to get into this because all the people, warning you about threats to democracy and election interference. You know what they all have in common? They're all interfering in elections.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
Okay, I'd like to give you an example. Okay, the Hunter Biden laptop. Okay, everybody's familiar with the Hunter Biden laptop by now.
Hunter's a dirtbag.
Seriously. Okay, and with all the naked photos. Sir, I've just seen so much male genitalia, I feel like I'm on a women's swim team. This is crazy. But stick with me here. The Hunter Biden laptop was corroborated by the FBI in 2019. Hey, we got this. This is legit. This is his. This is his business. Okay, Hunter Biden's business partners go on record in 2020 saying, oh, no, no, this is his business. This is what he did. His father was the brand. His father was getting a 10% kickback on the money.
Are you the big man, Joe?
Okay, his business partners went on record and said that. Okay, the FBI authenticated the laptop. But in the weeks leading up to the 2020 election, when this became a story, what did they tell us? Well, we can't let you share this. It's Russian disinformation. That's what they did. Okay, understand that they were doing that to protect the Democratic nominee, which by definition is interfering in the election.
Bingo.
Okay. This is what they do. It's called projection. Hey, we've got to start a disinformation board on social media to ban all the people spreading disinformation. And who were they trying to ban when they launched that board? They were trying to ban the people who said that vaccinated Americans could still get COVID. And lo and behold, a lot of vaccinated people got some COVID. Okay, that's the thing. They said, ah, kid, get COVID if you get vaccinated. So you got to get vaccinated. Whether you want to or not, you have to get, we're all in this together. Don't be selfish. You might be young and healthy, but you got to get vaccinated so you don't catch COVID and spread it to somebody else.
Bingo, man, bingo.
That's what they told us. And they fired you from your job. They said, hey, if you don't get this vaccine, okay, if you don't get this vaccine, there's people out there spreading disinformation that says the vaccine stops transmission, which is why you've got to get it. If you don't get the vaccine,
step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fired.
And they formed a disinformation board with that wacky Mary Poppins lady. Do you remember this? And then there was such an immense pushback because we said, what constitutes disinformation? It sounds an awful lot like anything that doesn't align with the administration's agenda. And lo and behold, they were forced to disband that disinformation board because they realized how bad it looked. And they realized how full of it the administration was. But at the end of the day, they didn't fret. They didn't go, well, so much for deplatforming people, so much for censoring ideas, so much for putting our thumb on the scale. No, they went back to work doing it the old-fashioned way. You get the big tech companies to amplify what you want them to and restrict what you don't. Like, I'll give an example. Meta, Facebook. Okay, Mark Zuckerberg spent over $500 million in the 2020 election to make sure Trump didn't get reelected. That's clearly a guy that's not concerned about elections. He's concerned about Democrats. I mean,
You have a good eye, my man.
You don't need to have a good eye to know that. Guy spent $500 million to stop the Republican nominee. He's here for the Democratic Party. But lo and behold, after the election was over, what did he say? Well, it's all gotten so contentious on Facebook. We don't want to be a part of the division, so we're restricting political content on Facebook. That's like a real thing. Like if you look at the Fox Across America Facebook page, our videos used to wind up in your feed. Some of them would get 50,000 views, 500,000 views. Now they get like 100. But that's calculated. That's Mark Zuckerberg had flat out made the declaration that Meta was going to restrict political content on the site. Now, why did they ultimately do that? Were they trying to actually lower the temperature in this country? No, 99% of their political donations still go to the people saying everyone's a racist, misogynist, transphobe who wants a bloodbath in the streets because they work for Vladimir Putin. That's where all Facebook's donations go. 99.4% of them are liberal. Okay, it's not that they're apolitical at Facebook suddenly. It's that they realized if they just restrict political content, that gives the Democrats an advantage. Why? Why? How could you say that, Jimmy? Because the Republican conservative pages on Facebook were about 10 times as popular as the liberal ones.
Oh, wow!
So you understand if they say we're just going to kill politics altogether, they're taking away an advantage from the Republicans. They're putting their thumb on the scale. But is this unique to a company like Facebook?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. We know what Twitter did because Elon Musk bought it and shined a light on it. Okay, but here is a report from the Media Research Center. Okay, it's a new study, came out this week, found that Google has interfered. Their words, not mine. Google has interfered with major elections in the United States 41 times over the last 16 years. Now, to be clear, that sounds very low.
I agree with that.
I don't know that he does, but that does sound very low. Media Research Center researchers have found 41 times where Google interfered in elections and its impact has surged dramatically, making it ever more harmful to democracy. In every case, Google harmed the candidates, regardless of party, who threatened its left-wing candidate of choice. This is MRC Free Speech America Vice President Dan Schneider and editor Gabriella Pariseau. They wrote this in a summary of their findings. Utilizing the many tools in its arsenal, Google aided those who most closely aligned with its leftist values from election cycle to election cycle as far back as the 2008 presidential election. Meanwhile, it targeted for censorship those candidates who posed the most serious threat. From the mouths of Google executives, the tech giant let slip what was never meant to be made public, that Google uses its great strength and resources and reach to advance its leftist values. Okay, what does that mean to you? Put that into English, could you please, Jimmy? Okay, this is what it means. If the Republicans tweet something, the Republicans post something, the Republicans do something, Google limits your access to the actual content.
That's not right.
Well, this is going to give the Republicans advantage. Let's make sure nobody sees it when they search for politics on Google. Let's make sure it's harder to find when people search for their local race. Conversely, if something positive is said about a Democrat, Google amplifies it in their algorithm and makes sure as many people see it as possible. Okay?
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
They're influencing the election. The group's research found that from 2008 through February 2024, Google has utilized its power to help push to electoral victory the most liberal candidates regardless of party, while targeting their opponents for censorship. Examples include appearing to favor Barack Obama over John McCain in 2008, favoring Obama over Mitt Romney in 2012, refusing to correct a Google bomb that smeared then-leading GOP primary candidate for president Rick Santorum, using its algorithm to exclude autofill results that were potentially damaging to Hillary Clinton in 2016. So now, like, if you go into Google and you type the words Donald Trump, Google will recommend, like, is a criminal, called for a bloodbath, cited an insurrection on January 6th, worked for Vladimir Putin. They'll suggest you click on that link because they want you reading that negative content about Trump.
That is correct.
But if you were to type in Hillary Clinton's name, you might not get private email server. You might not get pay-for-play charity. You might not get Benghazi. You might not get her husband used an intern as a humidor.
I believe that together we can make America great again.
Okay. Other examples cited by the MRC include disabling Tulsi Gabbard's ads account, just as she became the most searched candidate following the first Democratic Party primary debate in 2020. So if you remember the first Republican primary debate in 2020, on the Democratic side anyway, she mopped the floor with Kamala Harris.
Kamala is a lying sociopath. Fact checked.
Tulsi Gabbard was the most popular Democrat coming out of that first debate. So what did Google go out and do? Because Tulsi Gabbard is more of a traditional liberal, likes the country, wants to minimize the government intrusion into your life. Okay, she had the best sound bites at the debate, best presence, best intellectual gravitas. She was the furthest thing from the establishment pick. So Google went out and limited her ad account, meaning Tulsi Gabbard's super PACs, Tulsi Gabbard's campaigns, couldn't go invest money to piggyback off of the momentum out of that debate. That's what they did. Now, you understand that's Google trying to actively steer the voters towards their preferred candidate. That is, in every sense of the word, election interference. Look at it like a referee. If the referee says, well, we're only going to call pass interference on this side, okay, then by advantage, they have interfered in the game because they're taking away a potential advantage and a potential asset for the other side. And then what did they do in the aftermath of the most recent election? Okay. They buried 83% of the Republican campaign websites for most competitive Senate races. So if you wanted to go to a Senate website, say Mike Lee's running out in Utah, if that was a competitive race, you wouldn't have been able to find his website in the first 5,000 searches for it because they didn't want you to wind up there. Okay, that is the very definition of election interference. When searching for Republican presidential campaign websites, Google returned Democrat Marianne Williamson, but not former President Donald Trump, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, businessman Vivek Ramaswamy, and others. So if you typed into Google this as recently as this past year, Republican presidential campaign websites, you didn't get Trump, DeSantis, or Haley. You got Marianne Williamson, who is an absolute moonbat, and so is anyone who supports her.
They're crazy.
Nice lady. I met her. I did TV with her. A moonbat. She's absolutely nuts. Okay, and you know what else she is? A liberal. Okay, she is not a Republican. The idea that if you're searching for a Republican presidential website and you don't get the former president of the United States, who is trying to serve two non-concurrent terms, first guy to do it since Grover Cleveland. It's historic in every sense of the word, but you can't find his website? Do you understand? That's not Google being an open search web engine. That's Google being a Democratic activist website.
He knows what he's talking about.
Yet every one of them will be like, oh, we're protecting democracy. You got to vote Biden in there. Because if you don't vote Biden, our democracy's in trouble.
Democrats are so full of crap.
We live in a day and age where they all, every single one of them, they work in the realm, in the fine dark art of projection. Accuse your enemy of what you're doing. It's a rules for radical. If you listen to Mark Levin, he talks about it all the time. I can't believe I just said it on the radio. Like, I've listened to that in a cab probably a billion times. Saul Alinsky, rules for radicals. That's my Levin impression, and it's not done in disparaging. He's a brilliant man. He is about 900 IQ points higher than me. The fact that we're in the same Saturday night lineup, God, good gosh, it blows my mind to even think that's a sentence that came out of my mouth. But here I am quoting him all these years later because they're still doing it. That's the point. No, the Republicans, the democracy, they're interfering in our elections. So vote for us because we're, you know, interfering in our elections. That's what they're doing. This is Google. Do you know what 99.9% of Google's political donations went to? They went to Democrats. So if Google is limiting the search results for Republicans, if they're burying the campaign websites, okay, it's not a coincidence. It's the plan. It's a plan they themselves spend money to enact. Okay, and they get away with it by telling you they're just looking out for the country.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
The show that leaves you without hope or change.
I'm telling you, man, this stuff will poison your mind.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be rapping with Jim Jordan in the next break. Grown-up talk about election interference, big tech censorship. Here's Ketanji Brown Jackson. You remember when she was being confirmed as a Supreme Court justice? She said with a straight face she couldn't define what a woman was because she's not a biologist.
That was embarrassing.
I mean, good gosh. I think we were all in agreement on what a woman was way back when.
Only girls can be the mommies. Only boys can be the daddies. Yes, sir.
But as we were speaking about big tech censorship yesterday, Ketanji Brown Jackson with a straight face said the First Amendment could hamstring the government from censoring speech. Here's a news flash. The First Amendment exists. Because the government can't censor your speech. The government is not supposed to censor your speech. First Amendment exists so you won't get arrested by the government for saying something they don't agree with. But the government's job is not to tell us what we can talk about. They did it in the run-up to the 2020 election, and it's a scam. And apparently they want to do it again because she's all worked up about it. This is clip 28.
Your view... has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods? I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
Seriously, because what do they consider to be damaging or harmful information? Anything they don't agree with. Okay, again, they told us it was damaging and harmful information to say vaccinated people could get COVID. Vaccinated people not only got COVID and spread COVID, but tens of thousands of them died from COVID. Which means if, you know, we're telling the truth here, it's not a real vaccine.
I think he's got a point.
You could tell me it's a therapeutic. You could tell me it's a Robitussin. I don't know. Okay, but the point is, she wants in, you know, important time periods, the government to be able to limit your speech. But that's also a condescending worldview, that you're too stupid to know what's best for yourself, and that we should be relying on them in Washington when the game's on the line. Anybody paying attention knows that's a dead end. Why?
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Well, if you're listening to the show on WHIO out in Dayton, Ohio, you're super familiar with this next guest. If you're working at the sports book at the casino down Route 75, you're also familiar with his staff. I am talking about Congressman Jim Jordan. Back on the show. Hey, man.
How you doing, Jimmy? Good to be with you.
Yeah, we're fired up. It's Tuesday. The world is on fire. It is my understanding that you were at the Trump rally in Dayton on Saturday night.
I was. Actually, I've been to two Trump rallies in the last 2 weeks. I was down in Georgia and there. And like always, had tens of thousands of people there, all fired up.
Yep.
Joe Biden does one. He gets like four people to show up.
Oh.
But no, it was great. But as soon as he used the term bloodbath,
yep.
They're going to use that. After him. You just know how the press operates.
And yep.
Sure enough, as right on cue, the press does their crazy stuff.
All the time. And you know what's amazing about it? And I was making this point before you came on. Is when the media does this, okay, not only are they disingenuously framing his remarks, but they're taking the conversation away from something critical, which is the outsourcing of American jobs.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the one note I made last night on Gutfeld is China's out of luck if they think they're going to open big factories in Mexico, because everyone from Mexico is already in our country now, thanks to Biden. They're already here. They're going to need him to go back. But the point is, the conversation we should be having, it's like when they lied about his approach to border security and building a wall. It's like we could debate the language, but the real life consequence is still going to be there.
Yeah, of course. But this is the left. What I always say, there's a template for the left. They, they'll tell a lie. The mainstream media reports the lie. Big tech amplifies the lie. And then when we try to tell the truth, they just call us names and then start with other lies. I mean, this is just the game they play. So you never can get to the heart of the issue. But again, the people get it, though. We, the people out there, get it.
Uh-huh.
And it's why he has tens of thousands show up at his rallies and Biden has four.
Well,
because the people get past the media and understand what's going on.
Well, this is the other problem, too, with the Biden rally. And I'm laughing, okay, because it's true. The Trump rally, they might give out hats or frisbees. Biden rallies give out directions. They're like, you must be lost. What are you looking for? We're so shocked to see you here.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's part of the problem. And then there's this other reality, because Biden doesn't have a lot of rallies. And if you tell somebody you saw Joe Biden out, because they don't want him out in public, as you know. So if you tell people you ran into Joe Biden at a rally, they talk to you like what was he with, Bigfoot and Elvis? You didn't meet Joe Biden. Like, hey, Vinny, this guy says he met Joe Biden. You know? No one believes it.
Bigfoot, Elvis, the Loch Ness Monster. What else did you see?
Was he hanging out? it's the Loch Ness Monster there? That's what they're doing, man.
No kidding.
It's crazy, though, because we always talk in sports. It's like he is a guy they play a prevent defense with. They don't want him on the field with the game on the line.
Of course not. Of course. And I think the country sees that. I just was doing an interview, and President Trump projects strength, confidence, a winning – I mean, President Trump's a winner. He hates losing, which is an athletic attitude. I tell people it's an American attitude. Joe Biden, all you see – and it's sad to say this because, I'm old enough to remember like you want to respect your president regardless of party, regardless of whether you believe in his policy. But he projects nothing but weakness, and it's our enemies. Everyone sees it. It's kind of sad, but it's why it's so important that President Trump be our – back in the White House, be our next president.
Well, we're talking to Representative Jim Jordan from the 4th Congressional District of Ohio. One thing I would tell you is if it comes down to the youth vote there's two good signs for you, okay? One is I was in spring break last weekend. I filmed a package for my show, and I filmed a package for Hannity. And I interviewed 100 people. 99 of them said they were voting for Trump.
Yeah.
Now, I got to be clear. I don't know that these kids will be sober enough by November to make it to the polls. They were hammered, but they get it because at the end of the day, and this is part of the hook of why he resonates, people do want America to have some swag, something you had mentioned, projecting strength. That's a lot more exciting to root for your country than to root against it. And sadly, that's what the Democrats are selling.
Yeah, no, I was at the oral arguments yesterday and the arguments in front of the Supreme Court. I've been in Congress 17 years, first time I've ever went to arguments. And I heard something that just completely shocked me. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, I'm sitting there, and when she said, it was one of those moments where you almost forget that you're supposed to just say, you know, there's a decorum you got to keep in this room. Because I wanted to stand up and say, are you crazy? She actually said, counselor, he was a solicitor general for Louisiana. She said, counselor, your position, you have the First Amendment hamstringing the government. And I'm like, that's the stinking point. But this is where we go with the left, who doesn't like America, doesn't like the Constitution, doesn't like the First Amendment, thinks the people in government are so much smarter than us hillbillies from you know, Western Ohio. Like, that mindset drives us crazy. And it's why the intensity of support for President Trump is so strong, because they see that mindset of, as represented by Ketanji Brown Jackson's stupid question and point. They see the difference. I mean, the whole point of the First Amendment is to hamstring the government, for goodness sake.
That's the whole point. We're talking to Representative Jim Jordan, but they see it the other way now.
Yep,
you know,
sure
government's
do.
Supposed to work for us. They really do envision it the other way around now, and the government's supposed to be running our lives. Well, one guy who is not going to let them have their way. So we had – you're going to laugh at this. So we had my son Lincoln on my Saturday night show 2 weeks ago. And Lincoln comes on the radio a lot. He's 15, and everybody's familiar with Lincoln's stance on the issues on this show. He's pretty outspoken. He's been coming on the show since he was 10 years old. But on Fox News Saturday night, I had asked him about, you know, who the kids are voting for in 10th grade and what they think and everything in between. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Lincoln is now on like 3 FBI watch lists because he was so pro-Trump. They're dumping his phone records as we speak. It was the funniest thing in the world. But the control room was like, they're like, I'll send you a copy. You'd be proud of him. He'd fit in well in the 4th Congressional District.
Well,
go ahead.
You're raising him right.
Listen, he hangs out in your district. I don't even think I should get the credit.
Wapakoneta, Ohio. It's a great place. It's a great place. A
lot of natty lights. Most of Wapak did good with the tornado. I was going to ask you about the rest of your district.
Yeah,
how is everybody doing? Are they rebounding?
They're doing fine. We're up at Indian Lake. And here's what's amazing about the American people and people in West Central Ohio. Within 24 hours, the gym at Indian Lake High School was packed full of clothes and Gatorade and water and supplies.
Yep.
I mean, that's the America that counts. That's that you get outside of Washington, you get like real people. That's the American spirit. And you saw it. It's been tough up there, but that area is such a nice area.
Yeah.
But the people are good people, and they're rallying around and helping their neighbors.
Yeah, no question. We've spent Jenny and I have spent a lot of time on Indian Lake. They only rent me pontoon boats because they don't trust me to drive the real ones, you know?
Yeah.
I guess I look like the kind of guy that's going to drink on the boat all day. And to my credit, I'm actually not. I'm a responsible boat renter, despite what the courts have ruled in the past. But there I am pontooning.
Yeah, well, next time you're up there, I'll come. We'll pontoon and talk sports and politics and hang out on Indian Lake.
Well, I'm glad you've given up on this golf match you used to pitch the listeners on, because we all know it's not.
We just went the whole time, and that's the first time you brought up sports. And I bet that's the only time in all the times I come on your show that you wait until the last 15 seconds or whatever.
Good for you.
Not about you know, March Madness. About Caitlin Clark, who we've all jumped on the band. Are you on that bandwagon? Because my wife and I definitely are. She can play.
Well, she's amazing. But I'm on the record as saying 5 years from now, the greatest college female basketball player of all time is going to be my son, Lincoln. We're getting that scholarship, man. We are. Caitlin Clark's great, but wait till Lincoln gets to Duke as a woman's basketball player. He's going to be a beast. That's all.
Jimmy Failey says himself right there.
I'm gaming the system. But listen.
Yeah, Jimmy, we're the party. We're the party that says guys compete against guys, girls compete against girls.
Fair.
That's our part. They're the crazy party.
Oh, you're damn right we are. And thanks for correcting the record. And keep up the good work out there. And, I'll find you on a pontoon boat soon.
All right. Take care, brother.
You're the best, man. Be well. The great Jim Jordan. There he goes, from the 4th Congressional District of Ohio. He recommends getting on a pontoon boat with me.
That's stupid! Use your common sense.
Jenny Fail will be the first one to tell you that. When you go out to Indian Lake and they were crushed by this tornado. But that resilient spirit he speaks to. And I can tell you this is, you know, a guy who resided in New York for September 11th. New York is overwhelmingly liberal. But we didn't, when tragedy hit our shores, ask people who they voted for. We just all showed up. It was that shared, you know, human experience. It was that resilience of the American spirit that came roaring back. And that's what they're doing out in Indian Lake, a place that I have a lot of fond memories of. I spent a lot of time out in Western Ohio. That's where Jenny's family's from. You know, and we've been hanging out there since 2003. So I know it like really well. And they are, in fact, bouncing back. And they will be okay because that is the American spirit. We are a resilient people. But one of the things I like about Jordan, you know, we'll talk sports, we'll talk smack, we'll tell jokes, we'll talk about Trump. But his loyalty to Trump, because he really likes Trump, like he stuck with Trump through everything. So there's this other version of Trump a lot of you guys don't get to know. You know the media version of Trump, okay, which is, you know, the entertainer, pugnacious guy who goes on the stump and says anything he wants, and, you know, clearly seems to be fighting for American jobs and border security and praising American exceptionalism. See, Trump was born into a lot of wealth, and the Democrats like to disparage him with that. They like to say, well, his dad had a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. How many people do you know, seriously, that were born into a lot of wealth that grew up to do absolutely nothing? The correct answer is most of them.
Correctamundo.
You see, Trump is, for whatever you think of the guy, a worker. Like, he is a real worker. He was doing two rallies a day in the run-up to the 2020 election when he was running against Joe Biden.
I don't remember that ever happening.
No, he did. I mean, Biden didn't really run. He was home for most of it. But the fact remains, like, he was out there every day. Even when he won the presidency in 2016 and they were like, oh, he's a Russian, we're all going to die. He went to work, tried to build a wall, tried to keep his campaign promises, get the NATO members to pay up, get the Arabic nations to normalize relations with Israel. You know, he wanted to beat back the criticism that he was going to be a destructive, deadly president. And by all accounts, he did. He just didn't get credit for it. Like, you understand, everybody yells that Trump's a racist. Do you know what Trump has done for the black community comparative to other presidents? Like, for real, the Trump tax cuts. Okay, the First Step Prison Reform Act. Okay, the fact that he gave historically black colleges and universities their highest recurring funding endowment ever. Okay, Trump has been consequentially probably the best president for black Americans in the last 50 years.
Don't be thick, all right?
I mean, no, you could say Obama's the first black president, but you can't say he offered deliverables in terms of an improvement to their quality of life.
That's true. That is true.
They didn't improve anything. My goodness. You know, when you say, oh, well, but we've spent money on the climate. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Well, we forced people to buy health care they didn't want it. That didn't make healthcare more affordable. It was called the Affordable Care Act, and it drove up premiums by over 300%.
What a fraud!
Total fraud, because it didn't make care more affordable. It gave it to some people and forced the others to pay for their care.
That is financial lunacy.
Of course it is. It's a scam. But when you talk about Trump, okay, Trump is a worker. He resonates with working class voters, not because they really think he's one of them. The guy's been married 3 times. He was a billionaire, you know, but because he works like they do. And the one thing about Trump that people don't do a good enough job of articulating when they come on the air, and I do mean this because he has a lot of good surrogates, is that there's a part of Trump behind the scenes. You never hear about this version of Trump, who was born into spectacular wealth. Obviously, he does a lot of great charitable work that you might have heard about. But there is a part of him. He was a Democrat for a good percentage of his adult life. He donated a lot to Democratic causes. He pivoted conservative later in life because he realized a lot of the success that he was able to attain, a lot of the success that Fred Trump was able to attain, was only possible because of the country that he lived in.
Freedom!
He became later in life in on the joke. That the things the Republican Party is supposed to stand for, not that they do, because most of them are frauds. Most of them are uniparty members that are, you know, beholden to lobbyists at the end of the day, no matter what they campaign on.
Money, 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 money.
Totally. Okay. And he realized that later in life. Okay, his naivete was trying to repeal and replace Obamacare when he got into office in 2016, because every single Republican had run on repeal and replace Obamacare, every single one of them. And when he got into office, the first thing he found out is that everybody who spent 8 years running on repeal and replace Obamacare didn't have a plan to repeal and replace Obamacare.
That's just how white folks will do you.
And it also happens to just be the way politics work in this day and age. You know, people want to run on issues. They don't want to solve them. Trump is trying to be remembered as a problem solver at the border on the world stage because he wants to have a legacy as proving the haters wrong. Okay, and he wants to prove them wrong because he thinks his ideas are better for the country. Now, if you were to look at the economy under Trump versus Biden, you'd say, yeah, his ideas are better for the country. If you look at the border, you'd realize, oh, yeah, it's better for the country. If you look at foreign policy, you'd say, yeah, it's better for the country. That's the reality. Trump's ideas have been consequentially better for the country. He's never going to get credit for it. I mean, that's the tragedy of the whole thing. Okay, he will live and die and be regarded by the media as the closest we ever came to not having it in America anymore. When the fact remains, the guy who replaced him is the closest we've ever come to destroying the place.
You are correct, sir.
The critics have spoken.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
This is Fox Across America.
There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We are in the bottom of the ninth. What have we learned today? Everyone in the media is full of There it is. Here's a Biden ad talking about the Trump bloodbath. Are you ready? Clip three.
Tell your supporters now, no matter what, no violence.
And it's going to be a bloodbath.
Why is Joe Biden running that ad?
Oh, Lordy Lord, he's desperate.
Why is the media carrying water for it?
The media is a bunch of losers.
Believe me, I don't purport to have all the answers. I'm just trying to call a fair fight over here. And if you listen to the show for any length of time today, you should know by now, I don't want to be your enemy. That requires a lot of energy and anger that I don't have. The only person I'm ever mad at is myself. I'm a mess. I'm a lot to deal with. Like, you guys hear me on the radio and TV, but you don't have to walk around with me all day. I'm nuts. But I really am. I'm not kidding, man.
Have you ever had a checkup?
Yes, and they asked me not to share the results. I kid. But you got to understand, the way we're doing this right now is so ass backwards when it comes to electoral politics and the state of the country. It's one of the reasons I'm always yelling and screaming at you to go to my comedy shows or buy the Cancel Culture Dictionary. It's available everywhere. It's because it has a volume of perspective. I have perspective. I was a cab driver. When you are a cab driver, you get to see society from an angle that a proctologist sees its patients.
What the hell did you just say?
Yeah, I'm not recommending everyone should see it from that angle. I'm just telling you, you develop a perspective a lot of people don't have, certainly not in media, where they're prioritizing pretend stuff. Well, you got to vote Biden because Trump says he wants to be a dictator. Their pretend narrative doesn't pay your bills, doesn't lower your crime rate, doesn't secure your border, doesn't get your kid an education. It's like when Biden said this was a battle for the soul of our nation because Trump didn't condemn neo-Nazis and white nationalists in Charlottesville.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
But they wanted you to vote based on their lie. But it's your actual quality of life that paid the price for Biden winning. Now, I'm not telling you how to vote in 2024. I'm just telling you to make sure you vote on the facts, and I'll be here again tomorrow to give them to you.
You got some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.